Let's turn then to our passage in 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're still in verse 8. If you remember that there were a couple of words we didn't get to 2 weeks ago, Sunday evening, and tonight we're going to come to these two words at the end of verse 8. These two words form a part of Peter's manual for a caring church ministry. Now, in the bulletin, I had Peter's recipe, and I thought I'm going to change that because recipe thinks like baking and cooking, and that's not what we're doing here. But it is part of Peter's manual for a caring church ministry. Pitiful is the first word I want us to look at here, and you will know that it has to do with mercy to the fallen, or those who have wronged you, that you show pity or a willingness to be merciful unto them. The other word, courteous, has to do with being friendly. In the English, it means good manners at court. And when we talk about courting someone, it means to win them. When a young man sets out to win a young lady's heart and love, he will court her. And that means he's out to win her heart. He's out to endeavor that he may present himself and conduct himself in a manner that will not put her at fear or cause her to go the other direction, but it will be a winning and a wooing attitude. What a concept for Christian fellowship, to be pitiful and courteous here in the Lord's church. And I wonder tonight, as a Christian, are you actively courting your fellow Christians? Now, I mean that in the biblical sense here that I've just described. How would you behave if you were to meet someone that you were considering maybe as your future wife or husband for the first time? How would you conduct yourself? You would seek in every way to win that person's heart. Well, here in the Lord's church, as Christians, as we fellowship one another, we are to have this pitiful, this courteous attitude that we may win the friendship, win the hearts, win the confidence of our fellow believers. And so this is our subject this evening, the Peter's Manual for a Caring Church Ministry. The thing to remember here, of course, is that we're dealing with people. And not only with people, but in many cases, if not all cases, we're dealing with hurting people. The Church of the Lord Jesus is made up of many, many hurting people, hurting from different things. Indeed, the premise of Christian ministry is that all men labor under infirmity. If you remember Paul's words in Romans 8, he talks about the Holy Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not how to pray as we ought. And even when our burdens and cares and needs, how difficult it is just to cry to God for the help. And every man or woman, every Christian in this world, whether it's in the physical body or in our emotional state or in a spirit of fear or in a spirit of depression, or those things that burdens and cares that come upon us, we are all infirmed to some degree in some way or another. And so this caring church ministry is to minister to hurting and needy people. There was only one perfect man who had a perfect pitch, if I may use a musical term. Someone with a perfect pitch, they get the note right every time. There's only one person who ever walked this world whose life was exactly at the right pitch. Every word, every thought, every attitude was right. When it comes to us, we are mostly off pitch. We do not hit the right note in so many areas of our lives, and we need help. We need grace, we need to be encouraged, and we need to be instructed in these things. And we know that the purpose of grace in the gospel is to lift up, it is to encourage, it's to build up the weak, It is to help those that are seeking strength from the Lord and through the means of grace that God has ordained in the Lord's church through His Word, through prayer, through fellowship, through the preaching and teaching of that Word. So how do we measure up tonight? As a church, as individuals, how do we measure up? Being pitiful and courteous. Peter obviously thought that there were Christians who needed help in this area in the first century, as he wrote to these various Christians scattered around. Now, I can surely say that in our day, in our congregation, that each of us need help in this area. I don't think we do this well. I think we all have a lot of shortcomings when it comes to a real Christ-like caring spirit. It's easy to reach high marks in doctrines. And you can get all the great doctrines of the gospel, justification, sanctification, glorification, adoption, regeneration. You can get all those doctrines in your head. And I trust in your heart. I trust that you are adopted into God's family. You're a child of God tonight. You're rejoicing in that. And you can be rejoicing that you're justified. Your standing with God is taken care of by the mighty power of the gospel. And we can be very strong in those things. But when it comes to ministering to our brothers and sisters and the needy and the weak, we need a lot of help. We need a lot of guidance. As a church, we are not to be independent, ministering to ourselves and our own needs, coming to church seeking what we can get from it, but rather there is to be a dependency one upon another. And we are to seek to reach out and minister to others. Our Lord Jesus taught this, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And that's not just taking out your wallet and giving out cash. It's giving of yourself, giving of your time, giving of your interest, giving of your prayers, giving of your fellowship, giving of your encouragement to the needs and cares of God's people. And you will find this to be the greatest tonic for your own Christian life as much as helping others around you. The greatest thing you can do for your own soul, your own infirmity, if we might say, our own struggles to get the joy of the Lord in our lives, is to serve others. That's Christian. It's the very, very premise of Christianity. Now tonight we're coming to this text then. We're going to look at this whole subject of Peter's manual for a caring church ministry. We may not get to the whole manual here, but we'll certainly emphasize these two things. Number one, we have Peter's reasons for a caring church ministry. Secondly, we have Peter's call to action. And then we have Peter's target people, all in these verses around this text. Firstly, then, the reasons. The reasons for a caring church ministry. Number one, your practice affects your spiritual life. How you conduct your fellowship with the brother or sister around you or in your congregation will affect your prayer life. Look at verse 7. You'll notice at the end of verse 7, relationship between husbands and wives needs to be right. Why? That your prayers be not hindered. If you're constantly at odds with your spouse, how can you pray? And especially if you are the cause of the friction and you're not of a reconciling spirit, you're not wanting to put things right. You are obstinate and even rebellious, failing in a terrible way in the vows that you've taken with your own spouse. And then you come to God to pray. Doesn't work. And down in verse 12 again, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." And so we see that our practice will affect our spiritual life, our devotional life, our Bible reading, our closet prayer times, and our praying in the church. The Spirit of God will be quenched. The Spirit of God will be driven from us. And there is to be this exercise of pity, caring, and being courteous. Now, as we seek for mercy from the heart of God in our prayers, so should we show mercy to those around us and in the church of the Lord Jesus. If we are hard-hearted, thoughtless, this is the opposite now to pitiful, showing no mercy, callous, arrogant, how then can we go in prayer and say, "Our Father, be merciful, gracious to me"? So this pitiful spirit is really a part of our new nature. It's really the heart of God. God is pitiful. We know from the attributes of God that He is gracious, He's long-suffering, He's pitiful, He's merciful. God wants us, therefore, to show and display the very same thing. The next reason for a caring church ministry is that Peter makes this the conclusion of Christianity. He says in verse 8, finally. And we've learned already, this is not now to say that the preacher's done. There's half of chapter 3, 4, and 5 still to go. Finally here means in conclusion. In the conclusion of what I've just been saying about wives and husbands and the need to minister to one another, finally, in conclusion, be pitiful, courteous, one to another. A spirit of pity is essential to fulfill the very instructions of the Christian life. Do you see that? What kind of person would we be if we didn't see that? What kind of Christianity would we be professing if we didn't see that? In fact, I would say Peter is stating really the obvious. But I've been preaching long enough to know that we as Christians need to be reminded of the obvious. Those things that we know only too well when someone sits down with us and tries to talk sense into us. But in our carnality and in our frivolity, sometimes we just go roughshod and forget these very basic things. Pitiful, courteous, winning. It's the very conclusion of the matter. Peter also makes this the handmaid to unity. Now, 2 weeks ago, I spoke at length on this whole matter of the need for unity in the church. I called it Christian unity, true Christian unity. Not the ecumenical kind, not the apostate kind of joining up with the Church of Rome and the other faiths of the world. We're talking about that unity that the Lord Jesus said, that as I and my Father are one, that ye should be one. There is a Christian unity. And here's how to strive for it. This pitiful attitude and courteous manner is a way to promote unity amongst God's people. I think we would all agree, pastor and members and all here tonight would say the great need of any church to function properly is unity. We have to be all pulling together. We have to be striving in harmony. We need the notes not to be a cacophony. We want the notes to be harmonious and sweet and sounding and giving glory to God. That has to work together. Now, are we doing that? Finally, to promote unity, we're to be pitiful and courteous. And instead of looking out for the fault, we're going to be pitiful. And we're going to treat our fellow believers with great grace. In Ephesians 4, we won't turn there. We just don't have time to do it. In Ephesians 4, there is an exhortation that says, endeavoring to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Endeavoring, that means work. That means work. Endeavoring. And here's a way to do it. Show pity. Be courteous. Do it. It is a promoter of wonderful unity. Christians also, if you look at verse 9 now, I'm working my way through this, you'll notice that the word courteous ends with a colon. Those two things set up the principle, and then there's a few details to follow in verse 8 right into verse 9. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. That struck me. Do you want to be blessed? And do you want to bless others? Now, if you say no to that, there's no hope for us. If you're here tonight and you said, I didn't come for the blessing of God. I didn't come for any guidance to help me to enjoy more blessing. And I don't want my life to be a blessing to others. There's just no hope for us. There's no hope for the church. There's no hope for families. There's no hope for the whole testimony of Christianity if that's our attitude. And Peter, he digs this up very, very, very wisely. And he says, we're not looking for evil. We're not looking for railing, which is argumentation. But contrarywise, the opposite of those things we want is blessing. And surely we're praying for the blessing of God upon our church and our ministry and our witnessing for Him. That's what we want. That's what we're seeking. What is it that makes you thrive as a Christian? It's never hate. It's never bitterness. Bitterness destroys. Bitterness is like an acid. It eats up the very container that it's in. And if you live in bitterness, it'll destroy you. But if you live in blessing, you become a blessing. That's what this verse says. Knowing that ye are therefore unto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. What a concept. What a blessing it is indeed. And you can be sure that the mean-spirited Christian is the miserable Christian. The Spirit of God is quenched. We are commanded not to quench the Spirit. Quench simply means to extinguish. It's like smothering the fire. And if you want to smother and extinguish the blessing of the Spirit of God in your heart, be bitter, be spiteful, rail on one another, work toward evil rather than blessing. That's Peter is setting this up for us. On the other hand, when you speak a kind word, like our Lord Jesus, who even the littlest child, he said, suffer, allow the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. And if you are speaking a kind word to lift up a fellow believer, just to give them a warm, inviting, welcoming friendship, you're a blessing. But you're also blessed yourself. I don't know what words Peter could have used to put it any more clearly. If you want to have a rich, happy, joyful, and blessed Christian life, this is what you must do. You must be busy working, being pitiful and courteous. And this will translate and multiply into a church life of greater blessing. When everybody gets it, and everybody is practicing this, corporately unified across the congregation, then we are in for blessing. But if we're not interested in that, then we won't inherit the blessing. I don't know how else to present this tonight. That's what Peter's telling us right here in this very passage. Then we become a church that has a winning spirit, a magnetic, drawing, welcoming spirit that encourages people. Courtship, which works to win the hearts and the friendships of one another. I think we should take this, what I set out calling Peter's recipe, Peter's manual, and try it. Try it. We should. If we don't, how can we call ourselves biblical Christians? If we're not even interested in doing what we can, endeavoring this. So that's the first one. That's reasons for a caring church ministry. I want to move on now to the action of a caring church ministry. You'll notice here the word be pitiful. Be pitiful. That's action. It's something you're to be. Something you're to do. It's not just a prayer. It really would be hypocritical to come to the prayer meeting of the church and say, Lord, unify our church. Lord, deal with the issues. But if we do not go into action ourselves, it's something we're to do, to be. And there's a list of things here that you're to do. That's why I'm calling this a manual. There's a list of them. Number one, be a servant in the Lord's church to the Lord's people. Now, the Lord Jesus showed his disciples a great example when he took that bowl of water and the towel and began to wash the disciples' feet. And there are churches, you know, today that believe and take this literally, that they still today wash one another's feet. Would you? Would you like me to announce a foot washing ceremony at the end of the service tonight? Did you bring your towel? Have we got the bowls ready? And you're willing to take whichever person in the congregation and literally towel their feet, wash them. But our Lord did not intend to make this a ceremony in his church. Rather, he showed and displayed his servant spirit to serve in the most menial, humiliating, not to be humiliating, but it is the lowest and stoop to the littlest task. The principle is to stoop to serve. Stoop to serve. And it might be to cook a meal. Might be to give hospitality in your home. Might be to fix a car. Might be to shovel the driveway if you're in the snow season. Whatever. There's nothing too low for you to stoop down to serve. Now that sounds so holy and pious and Christian. But unless it's in action, it's farcical. Unless we really put it into action, how can we fulfill this example of our Lord Jesus? That means we seek opportunities rather than avoid them. Our Lord Jesus in Luke 10 told of the Good Samaritan. Walking along, the priest and the Levite, they just crossed on the other side, seeing the injured man. They wanted nothing to do with him. Whereas the Good Samaritan came along and he helped and ministered to the physical needs, paid money at the inn, and was willing to return again, to go out of his way to minister to this hurting man. Is there not a message here for us tonight? We call ourselves Christians. Are you a Christian? Are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus? Are you an obedient follower? Or is Christianity just a game? Now, in Canada, people don't need money so much, nor physical things so much. They need the gospel. That's the great need. And, you know, there's no spirituality in going to everybody and say, look, do you need money? Sometimes we do more harm than good by doing those things. But there are people all around us who need Christ. And there are people in our church and in our families who need Christ. Do you care? Are you willing to stoop to serve? Think of a teenager growing up in the church. Have you ever come alongside to help, to encourage, speak a word of encouragement, give a little gift, maybe a gospel booklet, and say, would you read that and we'll talk about it? These are the practical things. If we're really burdened, really Christian, we're willing to do them. Also, ministering to weak believers. In every church, there will be those who are either new or just new to the faith or maybe beaten down by circumstances. Galatians teaches us that they that are strong should minister to the weak. And that's why we need mature Christians to come alongside and to be pillars in the church and minister to those that are weak and need that encouragement and that help. I think of the Lord Jesus and how he bore with the disciples for 3 years. We get a window into their activities and their behavior at the end of the 3 years, and it was pretty pathetic. And they asked the Lord, who's the greatest? And Mrs. Zebedee coming along wondering which one of her sons would be honored. Very pathetic. And sometimes in the Lord's work there are weak Christians. They profess faith in the Lord. We cannot doubt that they're converted, but they need a lot of help. They need a lot of guidance. And we need to be patient. And I think therein lies a whole lot of this being pitiful and courteous, is to be patient. We want to see that new shoot grow. We want to see that new life develop. We can't crush it. We can't stand on it. We've got to wait until it develops. And pray for it all we can. Then ministering to the lost. You know, there are people all around us tonight and they have absolutely no idea of the gospel. Just absolutely no idea. If you were to ask them the simplest question on salvation, wouldn't have a clue. And they could be educated people, they could be through college and university, they could have degrees, they could be well civilized and cultured. We're not talking these about you know, dysfunctional people. We're talking about the average person all around us. No idea of what it is to be saved by sovereign grace. No concept of biblical worship and truth. How we need to minister to their hearts. They live with a great degree of guilt, a great degree of shame. I've seen strong men come into this church trembling. They knew they were in a place where God is honored and it's fearful to them. And they need all the encouragement that we can get. We need to pray for them. We certainly don't jump on them because they're not properly dressed. We don't say to a young lady, unless you come here with head covering, we're not going to allow you back into the church. We don't say that. We encourage. We seek to help. We want the Word of God to reach their hearts. Have to be patient. And then by a display of good manners, courteous. Now this is a manual. This is very practical stuff tonight. If you came thinking of deep theology, you're not going to hear tonight. This is not about deep theology, the great doctrines of the Christian faith. This is about you and your brother, your sister. Right relations between the one, either in this church or whatever is your home church, that you have right relations, that you be a blessing. Be courteous, we are told. What does that mean? Good manners at court. Good manners at court. Well, number one, be considerate. Be considerate. Help with seating. As I said, there are strong people that tremble going into a Christian church. And just that first few seconds they walk through the door, it's so daunting to the first-time visitor. And that, even just a pointer, there's a seat for you. Or a little direction, a little confidence building at that particular moment is vital. Consider it. Maybe with the hymnal, we have a bit of a handicap with our hymnal because we've got hymns and psalms in the one book. And I have to continually announce psalms and say they're at the back. And sometimes they don't pick up on the word back. And you can see people struggling sometimes. Now, hopefully, if they come the second, third time, they'll soon catch it. But it's just that little thing. Another thing to be courteous is to be punctual. Now, if you get a flat wheel coming to church and it's going to take you 10 minutes to change the wheel, I understand. But if you're coming 10 minutes late every week, there's something wrong. And you come in when the church service is on its way and in a way that you are a distraction to those that are already in the service, disturbing the meeting. Some people do it with candy papers. You ever been in a meeting where people get this candy paper and they go dig into the pocket? They dig way down deep, and it seems to be the bottom candy that they must get. And then they bring it out, and it's wrapped in paper cellophane that has a rattle to it. And they've got to pull that thing and twist it and get that candy out, and then you can almost hear the suction as they take that candy. This isn't a public service. It happens. And then the cell phone. Well, I'm guilty. If you remember the Sunday morning, I was caught out. It happens. But if we're continually doing those things, I think that we are a real distraction. Fidgeting. Fidgeting is another thing. Kicking the seat in front of us. I say this today because I find myself, it's not often I'm sitting in the pew, but this week I was for a number of meetings, and I found myself doing that. Literally kicking the bench in front of me. And I caught myself on. And I realized this person is going to turn around and tell me to stop it. They were very gracious, they didn't. And I caught myself on. These are very, very little things. But it's a matter of being courteous. Going in and out to washrooms. Marching to the front and the back, you know. I think there's enough seats here to take a different low-key position. Another thing, more positive, make a good hearty handshake. Now, Daniel's not here tonight, and not exhorting that everyone's like Daniel. But a good, firm handshake. That's really friendly. A farmer's handshake, if you will. You don't want a dead fish handshake. You want a handshake that really conveys that there is depth, there's conviction here. Talk about the sermon. And if you can't do that, talk about the weather. But talk. Don't let people come and go and don't have a word for them. Make some attempt that you can convey an interest and a desire to befriend. You're wooing now. This is courting. Now, I know that there are many young guys and they're very awkward when they meet or date a young lady for the first time. Don't know what to say. And you've probably seen many scenes, you know, just sitting there in total silence. Can that happen in a church among Christian people? This awkwardness, this total silence? Somehow we've got to overcome that. This is what Peter's talking about here. Be pitiful. Be courteous. And he goes down the line. Heart-to-heart talks. Do you know what a heart-to-heart talk is? We're living in this gadget age when people send text messages and so on. Okay, you are coming, CMG. Now, and the R is just a letter R and all that short version texting. That's not heart-to-heart. Can you explain what a heart-to-heart talk is like? When you get with someone and you really share and show you care and get to the place where, you know, that was exhilarating. That warmed my heart. It really lifted me out of the doldrums into a personal stirring of my heart. Have you had conversations like that? You see, we're made, this is how God created us. I was preaching at the care home today, and there you try to keep things as simple as possible, and I said that God didn't make us robots. And I asked, there were mainly ladies at the meeting, and I said, would you like to be married to a robot? And not one of them would. God did not make us as robots. We have emotions, we have feelings. We have this thing called love, communion. It's a gift. Don't put that gift under a bushel. Don't hide it. Don't run from it. Use it. Use it in the best biblical Christian arena, in the church of the Lord Jesus, that you might truly be a minister of grace. All right, I've said enough on that. The last third major point here, and I'm going to be brief, is Peter's target people. You'll notice what he says, be ye all of one mind. And he goes on and on, having compassion one of another, love us brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Be ye all. There's nobody left out here. And we'll start with a pastor. Would you want a pastor that was like a robot? Would you want a pastor who really didn't open his mouth in one-to-one conversation? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Now, men have different gifts. Some are really talkative. Some are less talkative. Some are very exuberant. And, you know, they can make a joke out of the least little thing. Others are more grave. But communication has to happen. Has to happen. And the pastor certainly is the first one to target. The office bearers of the church. Responsibility demanded. Mature Christians. Young people, you need to learn this. You can't sit in the corner and lurk away and then run out the church door. You're never going to have a church life if you develop that habit. It can be a habit. It can become a bad habit. And it'll injure your Christian life. It'll injure your fellowship. And so we're all targeted here. The newest attendee, and I know it's hard, I know it's difficult when you come to a church first. You just want to say, well, I'm just going to be a total observer. Just walk in, sit down, walk out. But you can't continue to do that. You have to engage. You have to fulfill this spirit of caring and sharing, being pitiful and courteous. Then I thought about outreach. If you're going on outreach, giving out literature and talking to people about the gospel, there's two things you desperately need, and one is pitiful, and the other is to be courteous. You'll never win the lost by being rude or arrogant or with an attitude, these people don't even deserve this. Well, we know in the highest biblical sense, sinners don't deserve anything. None of us do. But as the Lord has ministered mercy to us, we go forth to minister mercy, to be pitiful and to be courteous. Peter talks here in verse 10 about refraining the tongue. He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. And if you're going on outreach and giving out literature and you're giving the people a tongue lashing, what kind of evangelist is that? What kind of ministry is that? It's far from the purpose of the whole ministry to reach, to win, to court, to win over those that are lacking. So I think we can all do more. That's the point I want to make. I'm not condemning anyone here tonight. I feel in this too. I think as pastor in this church, I need a jolt. I need to be reminded here by God's word, by Peter, to be pitiful, be courteous. And if I need to apologize to anyone for the lack of this, I will. I will. I don't want to avoid. I don't want to offend. Not at all. Rather, we want to build and encourage and strengthen. Don't stand aloof. And certainly don't enter into personal agendas. Minister, serve, be courteous, be pitiful. Let me wrap up tonight with a wonderful story I heard this week. In fact, as you know, I was staying with Mrs. Pinkston, the musician in Faith Free Church. And I was able to tell her this great story. Imagine me telling her something about music she didn't know. Well, I happened to be listening to something, and I heard this great story. It's the story of a preacher, a Baptist preacher in northern England, Yorkshire, and he was in a country parish with a very poor congregation, and they were struggling even to support him. And as a young man, a married man with a growing family, it seemed that his family was totally outgrowing the means of the congregation to support him. Being a very able preacher, he got an invitation to go to London to preach at a much better situation for himself, his family, and more opportunities here and there and so on. And so he eventually decided that he would move to London to preach the word and leave Yorkshire. And so he decided that he would organize his move. He didn't have moving companies in those days. It was a matter of just the old cart. And the few earthly possessions they had, they loaded into the cart. And as they were loading up, the congregation began to gather one after another. And they stood around this cart outside his little home, and the tears began to flow. The tears of his people. Another story I read that his wife then began to weep as well. But anyhow, due to this demonstration of deep love and affection, John Fawcett is his name, he said to his wife, "Dear, I think we better unload the cart." And this account I read that he continued there a total of 54 years in that parish as the minister to preach to the same people. And out of that, he wrote this hymn, "Blessed Be the tie that binds Christian hearts in love." Do we know anything of that? I suppose there's one way of finding out, but I won't go there. Do we know anything of this true attachment and affection that binds Christian hearts in love? Or have we adopted the culture in which we live of being professional? Oh, I will give a handshake, but it's the handshake of a businessman in the stock market. It's a duty. No, there ought to be this giving. And so would you take these words to heart tonight? I know there are only two little commands here. Be pitiful. Be courteous. I endeavor to do so. I want you to monitor my behavior. If I be anything else but pitiful and courteous to you, or monitor me if you see me being anything other to others in the church, pitiful and courteous. Please, Would you do the same? Please. Why? For all the reasons we looked at. Unity, your Christian growth, the effectiveness of the Christian church, and for the glory of the Lord. Not rendering evil for evil, that your prayers be not hindered, and so on. May the Lord write this on our hearts tonight. Be pitiful. Be courteous. That hymn, by the way, is number 2.